Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond,
Bebs Martinez,
Winnie Thompson,
and Martha Ann Zorba.
From the Legion of Mary, Wilmington, Delaware, Curia, United States of America. We are broadcasting from St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hokesin, Delaware. Today is September 6, 2019. On Sunday, September 8th, is the birthday of our Blessed Virgin Mary. After we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet today, we will also share some meditations on today's readings. And also we will talk about how we celebrate the Virgin Mary's birthday, and we will talk about the Rosary. After that, we will pray the consecration to Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom through the Blessed Virgin Mary, and our Legion prayers. We now pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins.
The resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
All right, let's talk about the readings of today. The first reading was taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 20. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. That's verse 18. Paul couldn't have known a few years after the believers in Colossae received this letter, their city would be decimated by a powerful earthquake. Historian tells us that the city never fully recovered. It's possible that some of the Colossian believers grieved the loss of a spouse or a child in the quake. Others, seeing their livelihoods buried in the rubble, uprooted their families and sought refuge elsewhere. Disasters have a way of confronting us head on with the problem of suffering, don't they? Whether it's recent stories of major flooding or something more localized like family members' death, suffering can shake a person's faith, undermine the resolve, and leave behind emotional wounds that don't easily heal. In short, suffering threatens to drain us of hope. That's why this passage is so relevant for those who are in the midst of suffering. Not because it's a treatise on grief or pain, it doesn't mention them, but because it reveals Jesus as the source of our hope in every situation. Try to use your imagination as you think about the hope Paul talks about. Think about how the Colossians might have clung to Paul's words here in the aftermath of the quake. And of course, consider how Jesus is the basis for your hope too. Because Jesus is the head of the church, we have hope. Jesus would never abandon his people at the first sight of danger. He demonstrated his commitment to us by enduring the cross, preferring to shed his blood than leave us at the mercy of sin. Even in the thick of our suffering, our good shepherd stands with us, ready to give us peace. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we have hope. Death wasn't the end of Jesus. He overcame it. Death isn't the end of us either. We are looking forward to eternal life with the Lord. Our loved ones who have died in Christ are already with him, eagerly waiting to see us again. Because Jesus is reconciling all things, we have hope. This is in verse 20. Right now, Jesus is reconciling everything, even our pain and grief, with his plan for us. From the rubble of our suffering, he is producing the fruit of maturity in our lives. Jesus, you are the firstborn of all creation. I place all my hope in you. Now the gospel also is taken from St. Luke, chapter 5, verses 33-39. Not only was the fullness of God pleased to dwell in Jesus, through him the fullness of life and love flows toward every human being. When this love meets a person, especially one written off as a sinner by good folk, great joy is released. As today's psalm says, God, whose kindness endures forever, lifts the burden. This love, beyond telling, embraces us in our brokenness. Not after we have gotten our act together. That we should be so loved comes as a complete surprise. It contrasts hugely with our own negative self-assessment. Wedding imagery is apt. Really? You love me enough to say yes to take me on for life? Me? With all those things I hate about myself, my faults and shortcomings? Woohoo! As Julian of Norwich once said, God's good wish is to have us. This love coming first enables us to love in return. So, when the bridegroom comes, it is no time for fasting or mourning. There will be other times for that. It's time for feasting, eating and drinking, receiving and giving a love that reaches toward everyone. The love of Jesus, the bridegroom, is ever at odds with our tendency to understand partnership with God as separation from others, creating a we good people versus those bad people division. This old wineskin is burst asunder by the new wine of God's love. This new garment, our being clothed in Christ, can't be used to merely patch up and legitimize our old self-righteous ways. Jesus hangs with sinners. Get used to it. Clothed in him, we must be sacraments of this love for everyone without exception. Amen.
September 8th, on Sunday, is the Blessed Virgin Mary's birthday. There are other events on the Virgin Mary that the Church considers more important, though. Chief among those is the Assumption of Mary into heaven, which is like a second birthday celebrating a saint's arrival in heaven. The first birthday is ordinary, but the second birthday is truly glorious. On Saturday, tomorrow, the Legion of Mary Wilmington Curia is going to celebrate the Blessed Virgin Mary's birthday. It's from 10 to 12 noon with Holy Hour in the chapel, followed by a luncheon reception in St. Mary's room. All are welcome and there is no charge, but reservation is required by calling Coraline at 302-766-0911. We hope to see you there. There are other reasons why the Blessed Virgin Mary's birthday is not much celebrated. Little is known of her birth. We know she was born to Saints Joachim and Anne. We know she was born without sin. Saint Anne may not have suffered the pain of childbirth in bearing Mary, but everything else is speculation. How do you celebrate Our Lady's birthday? When giving gifts, it is important to give the recipient something they would like. Our Lady is fond of sincere devotion to her Son, Jesus Christ. She loves acts of mercy, compassion, and kindness. Perhaps the greatest gift we can give is to love one another, as her Son commanded us. Perform an act of charity on her birthday and offer it up to Our Lady. Teach your family and friends about Our Lady and her role in Christ's life. More importantly, show people your love for Mary by behaving in a manner pleasing to her. Let others see Our Lady in your many acts of mercy and compassion. A greater gift to Our Lady cannot be imagined. One of the many gifts we can offer is to pray the Rosary. Then let's talk about the Rosary. This is from St. John Paul II on the Power of the Rosary, from CatholicExchange.com by Constance Hall. The Rosary of the Virgin Mary, which gradually took form in the second millennium under the guidance of the Spirit of God, is a prayer loved by countless saints and encouraged by the Magisterium. Simple yet profound, it still remains at the dawn of this third millennium, a prayer of great significance, destined to bring forth a harvest of holiness. It blends easily into the spiritual journey of the Christian life, which, after 2,000 years, has lost none of the freshness of its beginnings and feels drawn by the Spirit of God to set out into the deep, in order once more to proclaim and even cry out, before the world, that Jesus is Lord and Savior, the way and the truth and the life. From John 14:6. The goal of human history and the point on which the desires of history and civilization turn. So begins St. John Paul II's apostolic letter, Rosarium Virginis Mariae, which was promulgated on October 16, 2002, just a couple of years before his death. October is the month the Church devotes to the Holy Rosary, and the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary falls on October 7th. It is a prayer and devotion that has changed the lives of many. It is to walk the life of Christ through the eyes of His Mother. Our eyes are ever fixed on our Savior, but under the loving guidance of the Mother He gave us on the cross. St. John Paul II referred to devotion to the Rosary as a genuine training in holiness that guided Christians in the contemplation of the great mysteries of our faith. The Rosary belongs among the finest and most praiseworthy traditions of Christian contemplation. Developed in the West, it is a typically meditative prayer corresponding in some way to the prayer of the heart, or Jesus' prayer, which took root in the soil of the Christian East. St. John Paul II implored the faithful to pray the Rosary most specially for peace in the third millennium, which began in the West with the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. The Rosary has been a unique weapon in spiritual warfare and is specially suited in praying for peace throughout the world. It is also a great defender in family life. In the last few decades, an onslaught of attacks have been waged against the family and its ontological reality. A similar need for commitment and prayer arises in relation to another critical contemporary issue, the family, the primary cell of society, increasingly menaced by forces of disintegration on both the ideological and practical planes, so as to make us fear for the future of this fundamental and indispensable institution, and with it, for the future of society as a whole. The revival of the rosary in Christian families within the context of a broader pastoral ministry to the family will be an effective aid to countering the devastating effects of this crisis typical of our age. The rosary is much needed in a time like ours, in which divorce, gay marriage, and contraception have divided human beings from their call in family life. Children are increasingly becoming either irrelevant or accessories in a throwaway culture, as Pope Francis has stated many times. We must implore our Lord through His Mother to heal the deep wounds that exist in our culture. It is essential that we pray the Rosary for peace and for the family, but more than anything, the Rosary guides us on our journey to holiness. The meaning of our lives is to become a saint. The goal is the beatific vision. In this veil of tears, we need every possible weapon at our disposal, and this is why the Rosary is so important. Not only should we pray it as individuals, we need to bring it into our domestic churches, in our homes. We need to teach our children to pray the Rosary and pray it together as a family.
Now let's talk about contemplation. The Rosary guides us through the life of Christ as it was seen through Our Lady. We are brought into a deeper understanding and knowledge of Jesus Christ as we pray Scripture in the mysteries of the Rosary. If there is anyone throughout human history who contemplated Jesus Christ, it was Our Lady, His Mother. The contemplation of Christ has an incomparable model in Mary. In a unique way, the face of the Son belongs to Mary. It was in her womb that Christ was formed, receiving from her a human resemblance which points to an even greater spiritual closeness. No one has ever devoted himself to the contemplation of the face of Christ as faithfully as Mary. The eyes of her heart already turned to him at the Annunciation, when she conceived him by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the months that followed, she began to sense his presence and to picture his features. When at last she gave birth to him in Bethlehem, her eyes were able to gaze tenderly on the face of her son as she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger. Luke 2, verse 7. Mothers know how much they contemplate their own children. They work to understand their inner workings of each child and how that child should be loved best. So it was with Mary, who not only contemplated her son, but the face of God in the quiet moments of her life. Mary spent her days in contemplation of our Lord. She kept all these things, pondering them in her heart, is the example she has given us. Confirmation. Beginning at baptism, the Christian life becomes centered on the constant confirmation of the person to the Most Blessed Trinity. In baptism, we descend into the depths of sin and death and arise to a new creation in Christ. We have accepted the truth that we must die to self in order to have eternal life. Mary is the most able guide to show each one of us how to live a life in confirmation to her Son. In the spiritual journey of the Rosary, based on the constant contemplation in Mary's company of the face of Christ, this demanding ideal of being conformed to Him is pursued through an association which could be described in terms of friendship. We are thereby enabled to enter naturally into Christ's life and, as it were, to share His deepest feelings. In this regard, Blessed Bartolo Longo has written, quote, "Just as two friends, frequently in each other's company, tend to develop similar habits, so too, by holding familiar converse with Jesus and the Blessed Virgin, by meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, and by living the same life in Holy Communion, we can become, to the extent of our lowliness, similar to them and can learn from these supreme models a life of humility, a life of poverty, a life of hiddenness, and patience and perfection. The Rosary serves as a guide and constant reminder of how our lives must be shaped by our desire to be more and more like Christ. Our Mother quietly shares this truth with us in the moments of the Rosary through the mysteries of Christ's life, his death, and his resurrection. Mystery. A good deal of the Christian life is shrouded in mystery. The Holy Eucharist, the reality of the Blessed Trinity, the Incarnation, and the list goes on and on. Words and intellect fail us in the face of the great mystery of God. But we are allowed a foretaste of heaven through these mysteries if we rely on the supernatural gift of faith. Meditation on the mysteries of Christ is proposed in the Rosary by means of a method designed to assist in their assimilation. It is a method based on repetition. This applies, above all, to the Hail Mary, repeated 10 times in each mystery. If this repetition is considered superficially, there could be a temptation to say the Rosary as a dry and boring exercise. It is quite another thing, however, when the Rosary is thought of as an outpouring of that love which tirelessly returns to the person loved with expressions similar in their content, but ever fresh in terms of the feeling pervading them. In Christ, God has truly assumed a heart of flesh. Not only does God have a divine heart rich in mercy and in forgiveness, but also a human heart, capable of all the stirrings of affection. If we needed evidence for this from the Gospel, we could easily find it in the touching dialogue between Christ and Peter after the resurrection. Simon, Son of God, do you love me? So 3 times this question is put to Peter, and 3 times the reply is, Lord, you know that I love you. That's from John 21. Over and above the specific meaning of this passage, so important for Peter's mission, none can fail to recognize the beauty of this triple repetition, in which the insistent request and the corresponding reply are expressed in terms familiar from the universal experience of human love. To understand the Rosary, one has to enter into a psychological dynamic proper to love. One thing clear, although the repeated Hail Mary is addressed directly to Mary, it is to Jesus that the act of love is ultimately directed, with her and through her. The repetition is nourished by the desire to be conformed ever more completely to Christ, the true program of the Christian life. St. Paul expressed this project with words of fire. Quote, "For me to live in Christ and to die is to gain." That's from the Philippians. And again, Paul says, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me." From Galatians. The Rosary helps us to be conformed ever more closely to Christ until we attain true holiness. St. John Paul II wanted to faithfully pray the Rosary in order to grow in holiness, conformation to Christ, and to change the world. It is a prayer of great, great power and importance in the Christian life. It is one that is capable of healing the wounds in our world, whether caused by violence or the splintering of the family. It is not a mindless rote prayer. It is a prayer that focuses on Christ by seeing through the eyes of his mother, who is also our mother. If you have not added this prayer to your repertoire, give it a try and see how it transforms your life. Amen.
one time, many people were making the consecration to Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom, through the Blessed Virgin Mary. According to St. Louis Marie de Montfort, we made this. O eternal and incarnate wisdom, O sweetest and most adorable Jesus, true God and true man, only Son of the Eternal Father and of Mary, always Virgin, I adore thee profoundly in the bosom and splendors of thy Father drawing eternity. And I adore thee also in the virginal bosom of Mary, thy most worthy mother in the time of thine incarnation. I give thee thanks for that thou hast annihilated thyself, taken the form of a slave in order to rescue me from the cruel slavery of the devil. I praise and glorify thee for that thou hast been pleased to submit thyself to Mary, thy holy mother, in all things, in order to make me thy faithful slave through her. But alas, ungrateful and faithless as I have been, I have not kept the promises which I made so solemnly to thee in my baptism. I have not fulfilled my obligations. I do not deserve to be called thy child, not yet thy slave. And as there is nothing in me which does not merit thine anger and thy repulse, I dare not come to myself before thy most holy and august majesty. It is on this account that I have recourse to the intercession of thy most holy mother, whom thou hast given me for a mediatrix with thee. It is through her that I hope to obtain of thee contrition, the pardon of my sins, and the acquisition and preservation of wisdom. Hail then, O Immaculate Mary, living tabernacle of the divinity, where the eternal wisdom willed to be hidden and to be adored by the angels and by men. Hail, O Queen of heaven and earth, to those empire, whose empire everything is subject, which is under God. Hail, O sure refuge of sinners, whose mercy fails no one. Hear the desires which I have of the divine wisdom, and for that end receive the vows and offerings which in my lowliness I present to thee. I, Winnie, a faithless sinner, renew and ratify today in thy hands the vows of my baptism. I renounce forever Satan, his pomps and works, and I give myself entirely to Jesus Christ, the incarnate wisdom, to carry my cross after him all the days of my life, and to be more faithful to him than I have ever been before. In the presence of all the heavenly court, I choose thee this day for my mother and mistress. I deliver and consecrate to thee as thy slave my body and soul, my goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of all my good actions, past, present, and future, leaving to thee the entire and full right of disposing of me and all that belongs to me without exception, according to thy good pleasure, for the greater glory of God in time and in eternity. Receive, O benignant Virgin, this little offering of my slavery in honor of and in union with that subjection which the eternal wisdom deigned to have to thy maternity, in homage to the power which both of you have over this poor sinner, and in thanksgiving for the privileges with which the Holy Trinity has favored thee, I declare that I wish henceforth, as thy true slave, to seek thy honor and to obey thee in all things. O admirable mother, present me to thy dear son as his eternal slave, so that as he has redeemed me by thee he may receive me. O Mother of Mercy, grant me the grace to obtain the true wisdom of God, and for that end receive me among those whom thou hast loved and taught, whom thou leadest, nourishest, protecteth as thy children and thy slaves. O faithful Virgin, make me in all things so perfect a discipliner, so perfect a disciple, imitator, and slave of the incarnate wisdom, Jesus Christ thy Son, that I may attain by thine intercession and by thine example to the fullness of his age on earth and of his glory in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll continue with the Catena, our Legion of Mary prayer. Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? My soul glorifies the Lord.
My spirit rejoices in God my Savior.
He looks on his servant in her lowliness. Henceforth all ages will call me blessed.
The Almighty works marvels for me. Holy is his name.
His mercy is from age to age on those who fear him.
He puts forth his arm in strength and scatters the proud-hearted.
He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly.
He fills the starving with good things, sends the rich away empty.
He protects Israel, his servant, remembering his mercy.
The mercy promised to our fathers, to Abraham and his sons forever.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Who is she that comes forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in battle array? O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, our mediator with the Father, you have been pleased to appoint the Most Blessed Virgin, your mother, to be our mother also and our mediatrix with you. Mercifully grant that whoever comes to you seeking your favors may rejoice to receive all of them through her. Amen. The concluding prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We fly to your patronage, O Holy Mother of God. Despise at our prayers and our necessities, but ever deliver us from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Mary Immaculate, Mediatrix of all graces,
pray for us.
St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael,
pray for us.
All you heavenly powers, Mary's Legion of Angels,
pray for us.
St. John the Baptist,
pray for us.
Saints Peter and Paul,
pray for us.
Confer, O Lord, on us,
who serve beneath the standard of Mary, that fullness of faith in you and trust in her, to which it is given to conquer the world.
Grant us a lively faith, animated by charity, which will enable us to perform all our actions from the motive of pure love of you, and ever to see you and serve you in our neighbor, a faith firm and immovable as a rock, through which we shall rest tranquil and steadfast amid the crosses, toils, and disappointments of life, a courageous faith which will inspire us to undertake and carry out without hesitation great things for your glory and for the salvation of souls, a faith which will be our legion's pillar of fire to lead us forth united, to enkindle everywhere the fires of divine love, to enlighten those who are in darkness and in the shadow of death, to inflame those who are lukewarm, to bring back life to those who are dead in sin, and which will guide our own feet in the way of peace, so that the battle of life over, our legion may reassemble without the loss of anyone in the kingdom of your love and glory. Amen.
May the souls of our departed legionaries and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tomorrow, September the 7th, we commemorate the Feast of Blessed Thomas Tugi, a martyr. Thomas Tugi was among the early Japanese Catholics to be ordained as a Jesuit priest. When an edict banned Catholic priests from the country, he, along with 80 other Jesuits, departed from Macau. But 4 years later, he received permission from his superiors to return. As a native Japanese, he was more successful than foreign missionaries in carrying out clandestine ministry. At some point, however, the physical and emotional strain of his life seems to have gotten the better of him, and he asked to be released from his vows. Though he quickly regretted his decision and asked to be readmitted, he was required to undergo a term of probation, which lasted 6 years, before his full readmission to the society. In 1626, he was assigned to Nagasaki. There, on July 22nd, in a Catholic home where he was saying Mass, soldiers burst and arrested him. After freely admitting that he was a Jesuit, he was imprisoned for over a year. Throughout that time, his family visited frequently and implored him to renounce his faith, but now he was resolute. Finally, on September 7, he was taken to a hill outside the city where he was tied to a stake and burned to death. He was beatified in 1867. Dear friends, to believe in Jesus today demands of us, just as it did in the past, that we take a stand for Him, almost to the point at times of a new martyrdom, the martyrdom of those who today, as yesterday, are called to go against the tide in order to follow the divine Master, to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. This is according to Pope John Paul II.
Okay, tomorrow, Saturday, September 7th, The Legion of Mary celebrates its 98th anniversary, 98 years of service to God and to His Mother. Please join us on Saturday, September 7th, 10 a.m. to 12 noon at St. Mary of the Assumption Church. It's at 7200 Lancaster Pike, Hockessin, Delaware. There will be Eucharistic Adoration and Rosary in church, followed by light lunch and birthday for Blessed Mother. And there will also be a Legion of Mary presentation. Reservations are necessary, so please contact Coraline at 302-766-0911. The Legion of Mary was formed in Dublin, Ireland, and held its first meeting on September 7th, 1921. All Legion of Mary members and everyone else are invited to join us to recognize 98 years of service for the Lord. Okay. Thank you for listening. We welcome your comments. Send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, it's legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. We would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible: Father Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church, Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America; Mr. Tony McGinley of Oremus Communications; A.J. Laporto, who provided the music; and all the members of the Legion of Mary Wilmington Curia. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. God bless you all.